Welcome to Hope for the Broken, the audio podcast ministry of Trinity Baptist Church in Mount Pleasant, Texas. We exist to become a gospel-centered community redeeming brokenness through hope in Jesus Christ. At Trinity, we believe we are all broken and in need of the redeeming hope found in Jesus. It's Christmas Eve at Trinity as we continue in our sermon series called The Characters of Christmas. In part 5 of this sermon series, Dr. Tim Watson shows us that Christmas is ultimately a time to worship Jesus with joy and offer Him our lives as our greatest gift. Here is Pastor Tim with his message entitled, What Time is Christmas?
A group of school-age children were practicing their Christmas musical that was to be performed in just a few days. And of course, as you can imagine, in that Christmas play, you've got the players, you've got Mary, you've got Joseph, you've got to have baby Jesus, you've got the angels, you've got the shepherds, but there was a little boy kind of standing off to the side of the stage as they were practicing, kind of unengaged and a little bit isolated from the rest of the characters in the play. And so there was a lady that was there, I guess, with one of her kids, and she was watching the rehearsal, and she went over to the little boy and engaged him in a conversation. And she said, young man, what part are you playing in the children's musical? What part are you playing in the Christmas play? And he kind of put his arms together and he said, well, I'm playing one of those wise guys is who I'm playing. Playing one of the wise guys. You know, the Christmas story, you got to have Jesus, you got to have Mary and Joseph, you got to have the angels, you got to have the shepherds, but it would not be complete unless you have the wise guys, or as the Bible calls them, the magi, the wise men. So the question is, what part did they play in the Christmas story? So if you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. For those of you that are regular attenders or members of Trinity Baptist Church, we've been in the month of December in a series of messages called The Characters of Christmas. And we've looked at the major players that make up the Christmas story. And so tonight, we're going to be talking about the wise men in a message entitled, What Time is Christmas? If you're physically able, would you stand one last time as we begin to read God's Word in Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The gospel writer Matthew says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi, that is the wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem, and they asked the question, where is the one who has been born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he's bringing together the Jewish leaders. He asked them where the Christ was to be born. They replied, in Bethlehem, for this is what the prophet has written. And they're quoting Old Testament prophecy. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. In verse 7, the Bible says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared to them. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may come and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They opened their gifts, presented him with treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. Be seated at this time. Who were these wise men? Who were these magi? Bible scholars tell us the wise men were probably from Persian descent. Their ethnic group or their nationality was the Medes. A lot of times you'll read in Scripture about the Persians and the Medes. That would actually be the people of the modern-day country of Iran. And so the wise men were teachers and instructors of the Persian kings. They helped to educate the Persian royalty of their day. Now, the Magi, these wise men in their day, they were regarded as men of holiness and wisdom. They were skilled in areas like philosophy and medicine and natural science and astrology. They also interpreted dreams. And so the wise men, we call them wise because they were known as men who were always seeking the truth. As we look here at our text in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, the wise men from the east, they came to Jerusalem and they asked the question, where is the one that is to be born, the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and it says, we have come to worship him. Now, here's a question. How in the world did wise men, Magi, that lived way over in Persia, which would be modern day Iran, how did they know a King of the Jews was about to be born? What would cause them to be searching for a Jewish king? Bible historians and commentators tell us that when Jesus was born at this point in human history 2,000 years ago, there was a feeling of expectancy. There was a feeling of the coming of a king. So there was a feeling among the people in the ancient Near East that a great king, a great ruler was about to come onto the scene. So there was a feeling of expectancy. The wise men were very aware of the times in which they live. And did you notice in verse 2 of our text, the Bible says the wise men, they arrived in Jerusalem and they said, we saw a star in the east. We've been following this eastern star. Now, we commonly refer to this as the Star of Bethlehem. This is the star that led the wise men to the Messiah. And again, we ask the question, what important part does that star play? You need to understand that during the time in which Jesus was born, just about everyone in that part of the Middle East or the ancient Near East, everyone believed in astrology. People believed they could predict their future by studying the patterns of the stars and the planets. Many people actually believed the stars in the solar system, it had a major bearing. It had a major influence on their lives. And so more than likely, these magi, these wise men, they believed that a man's destiny was determined by the star under which he was born. And so even today, you have family and maybe some friends that read their horoscope. They like to read about astrology. And these men were very aware of what was going on in the stars. The point is, when the Bible says a star appeared to the wise men in the east, they took that star very easily. It got their attention. Commentators and Bible scholars have speculated for years, what star did they actually see that would stand out and get their attention? Different scientists have said through the years it could have been possibly Halley's Comet that comes around every, you know, so 100 years. It could have been something like Halley's Comet. Some have said it could have been Saturn and Jupiter having some sort of cosmic disturbance. There was maybe some sort of, you know, meteorite storm that was taking place, and it was so bright, it looked like a star in the east. The bottom line is, no one knows exactly what those wise men saw. But I love what the Bible commentator, William Barclay, says. He says, we cannot tell what the wise men saw, but it was their job to watch the heavens, and some heavenly brilliance spoke to them of the entry of a king into the world. With these things in mind, we get a better idea of how the wise men viewed the first Christmas. As we think about tomorrow, tomorrow is the big day, December 25th, we ask a question that was actually answered by the wise men 2,000 years ago. And here's the question, what time is Christmas? We get our answers exactly from the wise men in Scripture. First of all, take a note of this. Christmas, first and foremost, it is a time of worship. Christmas is a time of worship. In Matthew 2:2, the Bible says they're asking the question, where is the one who's been born of the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and what does the Bible say? The Magi said, we have come to worship him. Their purpose in finding this baby, the Messiah of the world, was to worship him. And that word worship literally means to praise, to adore, to show reverence. Worship in this context means acknowledging someone who is greater than yourself. Now remember, the wise men were regarded as men of knowledge and wisdom. They were always seeking the truth. And isn't it interesting that these respected men were here at the cradle of a baby, worshiping him as the Messiah? Matthew 2:11 says, when the wise men saw the child with his mother Mary, notice in verse 11 it says, what did they do? They bowed down and they worshiped him. What a beautiful picture. And we see it in nativity scenes and we see it in artwork of those magi bowing their knee and worshiping Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know what? The reality is, all of us, when we come to Jesus, we have to come to him on the bowed knee. We need to come to him with humility and acknowledge he is someone greater than ourselves, and we worship him in reverence and humility. Now, the wise men celebrated the birth of Christ. They approached this event as a time of worship. So let me ask you a couple of rhetorical questions. As you get ready for tomorrow, have you seen the last several days as nothing but a shopping hassle? Do you see it as a time of spending money over the last few days that you really haven't had this year? Do you see the month of December filled with parties and dinners and socials as a Christmas merry-go-round that just keeps going around and around, and there's some days you say, I just want to get off? As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to approach Christmas tomorrow as the wise men. It is a time, first and foremost, of worshiping our Savior. This holiday season ought to be a time when we, at least for a little while, we slow down and we refocus, we recalibrate, and we thank God for sending His Son into the world. We cannot begin to understand with our limited understanding the sacrifice that our Heavenly Father made in sending His Son Jesus. Because of that ultimate sacrifice, Christmas should be a time of worship. Let me throw out just a couple of suggestions. I know that tomorrow is Christmas, and you can even apply this to next year. There's just a couple of things to remember that can maybe help you be in an attitude of worship rather than just seeing Christmas as a time of commercialization and a time of spending money. I would always say read scripture passages that speak of the coming of Christ. Always keep passages of scripture, like in Isaiah 9:6 and Matthew 1:21, that always reinforce why Christ came to this earth when he did. I would say read the different gospel accounts, whether it's tonight, maybe some of your families are gathering tonight, maybe you'll do it first thing in the morning. And I know that if you got little ones, boy, the first thing they want to do is tear into presents. But I hope and pray that you'll pause just long enough, even if it's for a few moments, to get out one of the gospel accounts in Matthew or one of the gospel accounts at Luke and read, even if it's a few verses, the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. Surround your family with Christian musical reminders. Integrate into your life at this season of the year music, but especially Christ-centered Christmas music. And one thing that I don't know if I happened upon it, I don't recall how we started doing it, but like a lot of you, I get a stack of Christmas cards, and I appreciate the cards. Some of you have been gracious to send me cards, and I like it, but I don't know what to do with them right after Christmas. So what I've started to do is I keep them at least till January, maybe even early February. And when our family sits down for a meal, or maybe if I'm just sitting by myself and having a cup of coffee, I take one of the cards that I was sent for Christmas, and I open it up, and I read it, and I look at the name that's in the card, and I pray for that person that sent that card. And it's a good way, just as a reminder, to remember the Christ of Christmas, and that someone took the time and the effort and the energy to send that card. You know, you don't have to do it all throughout the year, but at least in the month of January, use those cards you receive as an object of prayer. So what time is Christmas? First and foremost, it is a time of worship, but secondly, it is supposed to be a time of joy. We sometimes forget that. Christmas is a time of worship, but it's also a time of joy. The Bible tells us in Matthew 2:10 in our text that when the wise men saw the star in the east, what does verse 10 say? Does it just say they were bummed out about it? They were depressed? Feelings of helplessness, hopelessness? No. The Bible says when they saw that star, they were overjoyed. One translation says that when the wise men saw the star in the east, one translation says their joy knew no boundaries. It was an overflowing, exceedingly great joy for the wise men. They saw Christmas as a time of joy. December 25th, tomorrow. Are you looking at tomorrow as a day of joy and expectation? I sure hope so, because, boy, if we're not careful in this American society of commercialization, and it's about buying and doing bigger and better and trying to outdo certain family members, it can get really sketchy. I remember a few years ago being in a shopping mall, and the shopping mall there was a McDonald's, and it was very crowded. And this man asked the girl at the cash register, the typical question that we don't know to, you know, we just ask these questions because we're trying to make small talk. He asked the young lady at the cash register, "Well, are you ready for Christmas this year?" And you know what she said? She said, "I'll just be glad when everything is over and life gets back to normal. I'll be glad when everything is over and life gets back to normal." And you see, for that young lady, and I mean, she was busy and she was stressed out. It was all about hurry and worry. She did not see Christmas at that moment as a time of joy. And maybe because of society, the commercialization of Christmas, maybe it has robbed you of one of the most exciting days on our calendar. It is my prayer you will see Christmas tomorrow. It's a time of worship, but it's also a time of joy because of what God has done for you and what He's done for me in sending His Son, Jesus. It's a time of worship. What time is it? It's a time of joy. But here's the last thing. Christmas is also a time of giving. Christmas is a time of giving. The Bible tells us in Matthew 2:11 in our text, it says, the wise men, the magi, they opened their treasures and they presented to the Lord Jesus Christ gifts of gold and of incense or frankincense and of myrrh. Now, you know, because they presented three gifts, we always assume there were, what, three wise men. And you know, the Bible never says there were exactly three wise men. There could have been more, there could have been less. But because there were three gifts, we automatically assume that, right? And I thought, well, we got to stick with that for the most part, because if we don't, it would mess up some of our Christmas songs like We Three Kings of Orient Are, you know, so you can't mess up, you know, good Christmas hymns or anything like that. But did you know that every one of those gifts, listen to this, every one of the gifts that the Magi presented to the king were gifts that were appropriate for the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He would do. First of all, listen to this, gold is the gift for a king. Gold is the gift for a king. It was the custom that no one would ever approach a king without a gift. And gold, the king of all precious metals, is the right gift for a king. So they presented Jesus. There's a reason why they gave Him gold. They gave Him the best, because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The frankincense or the incense, you know, that was actually a gift for a Jewish priest. Frankincense was used in the temple worship. It was used at temple sacrifices. Frankincense had a sweet smell and aroma, and the function of a priest in biblical times was to be a mediator, a go-between between man and God. You know, the Latin word for priest is pontifex. Pontifex, which literally means a bridge builder, bringing the two together. And if you think about the work of Christ on the cross, that's exactly what He did with His death on the cross. He was the ultimate bridge builder. He brought God and man together through His sacrifice on the cross. So that frankincense was a gift for a priest. But what about that myrrh? Myrrh is the gift for a person who's going to die. Myrrh was a spice used to embalm the bodies of the dead. And did you know Jesus Christ came into this world? His main mission in life was not to live to be 100 years of age, but His main mission in life was to die for your sins and mine. This was an appropriate gift to give to the person who was going to die for the sins of the world. Gold for a king, Frankincense for a priest, myrrh for one who was going to die. These were the gifts of the wise men. You know, we talk to family, we talk to friends, and we always say, what are you going to get dad this year? What are you going to get mom this year? What are we going to get the kids? What are we going to get this brother, this, you know, or someone that we've got to buy a gift for? And we stress out a lot about, I got to get the right gift. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to get the right gift. But let me ask you this. What gift are you going to give the Lord Jesus Christ this year? I guess you could give him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I guess you could. But you know, more than anything else, Jesus wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your time. He just wants you. And because he gave the ultimate gift, could we make a new commitment this year if we already know the Lord Jesus? Say, Jesus, I'm yours again. Use me in whatever way you want to spread your love to other people. Maybe tonight you don't know Jesus. And I would hope that tonight would be the night that you would say, Tim, I need to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I want to give him my heart and I want to give him my life. Would you pray with me tonight? Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that gave the ultimate gift of his life, that he did not come to this earth to live 100 years and to live a comfortable life, but he came to this earth. He was crucified. He was buried. But thank the Lord that he did not stay in that grave, but he arose. Oh, dear Father, may we tonight examine our hearts this day before the birth of our Savior, and may we each, in a brand new way, in a fresh way, say, Lord Jesus, my gift to you this year is myself. Here I am, Jesus. Take me and use me and do whatever it is that you want me to do. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Jesus Christ told his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the lamp, but they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all of those who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The challenge of our Lord Jesus Christ tonight, Jesus said he is the light of the world, that we are to take his light and we are to go into our community, into the dark places where there is evil and there's brokenness and there's imperfection. And we are to be the light of the world wherever that darkness is. I pray God will bless you this holiday season, and I would like to pronounce just a quick prayer of peace and blessing over you that comes from Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26, where Aaron says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace as you leave this place. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. You're dismissed. Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to Trinity Baptist Church's Hope for the Broken podcast. We pray that today's message encouraged and challenged you in your walk with Christ. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit us at trinitytx.org or reach out to us at 903-572-1959. Or you can email us at info@trinitytx.org. If you're ever in the East Texas area, join us for worship on Sundays at 9:30 or 11 a.m. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us next week on Hope for the Broken.